Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. And he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The words of Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 through 12. Something of Lady Wisdom's response to our discovery of this dame folly, foolishness, who boasts so loudly about how great her bedchamber is, even though darkness, death, and Hades dwell there. And you have a very Hebraic form of poetry going on here, something called coupleting, and then it's mixed a little with a bit of chiasm. I know that sounds all funky there, right? Coupleting, just two things said next to each other that are repeating themselves, right? Saying the same thing from two directions. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is insight, right? Very, very Hebrew way of doing poetry is to say the same thing twice in a row over and over again. But then you have this chiasm or this inverted parallel going on in the early part where you have three sentences in a row about the scoffer and then three sentences in a row about the believer, about the wise man. And notice the real point of all of this is to point to faith in God's word as the ultimate wisdom. Wisdom is not, you know, keep your nose clean kind of quippy sayings. I mean, those are wisdom too. There's nothing wrong with the wisdom of the world in the sense that, you know, a penny saved is a penny earned, right? But that's a very different thing than the wisdom the Bible is talking about. The wisdom the Bible is talking about is supernatural. You could even call it revealed, right? It is revelation of God. It is spirited. And that wisdom, which is revealed and spirited to regenerate the human heart, soul, mind, and on the last day, body, is this faith in God's word, which then, being made alive in the most wonderful way, has a totally different life than that of the fool, the folly of this world, which rejects what God says as the heart of its belief system. So that, because it has fallen into foolishness, has fallen into the need to be its own wisdom, the need to be its own justice, the need to be its own righteousness or goodness or value or whatever you want to call it, the need to self-identify itself and prove to the world it's right, the need to justify itself, it can't handle criticism. Folly is so busy building a ladder to heaven that it can't handle you saying a ladder up through the sky is just going to get you to space and you're going to die there because there's no air. It can't handle that. It's got an idea that it believes, which is not truth, and it's going to do anything it can to keep that idea safe because it's in that idea that they believe, the fool believes, he has found his safety, his righteousness, his value. So that if you correct a scoffer, you get yourself abuse. And that word scoffer there in the Old Testament, this is like the chief sinner, right? It's not the harlot. It's not the perjurer. The scoffer. Why? Because it's like the word blasphemer, in a sense, would be to us. It is the one who makes his chief attribute the mockery of God, the rejection of God, right? I mean, there are people who do evil things with a bit of pang of conscience, right? They struggle with their guilt. The scoffer's the one who's gotten to the point he's got no guilt. He just mocks God. And to try to correct such a person is to be persecuted, right? And blessed are you when others persecute you for the sake of the name of Jesus, for the sake of his words, for the sake of his truth. But know this, I mean, if you reprove a wicked man, if you reprove an unbeliever, expect injury. Expect hate. And don't we see that today? Often in the name of love, often in the name of tolerance, we see hate. We see rage. We see people so intent on justifying their way of life, regardless of whether it's good for them or anyone else, that anyone who would say, hey, maybe this is a dangerous path we're on, is literally called a hater, even if they speak in love, even if they seek to come alongside and walk with and help. The inverse of this is this wisdom of faith, which always wants to hear more, always wants to believe more, always wants that revelation, that regeneration to continue. And so a wise man that is a believer, once reproved, loves you for it. Now, that doesn't mean you like it as a Christian when someone has to tell you you're wrong. It still hurts and you still got the fool in your flesh. But ultimately, because of the value of that, you know there's nothing more valuable than a friend who's honest, right? Than a friend who will tell you, well, not just what right and wrong are, but what Scripture says. That a friend that will remind you of who Jesus is. So you teach a righteous man, you teach one who knows his justification is in Jesus, more about Jesus, and he will know more about that justification still. And it will reign in all of his thoughts, words, and actions. That mercy, that charity, that hope will be like a sweet salve that he leaves behind, or she leaves behind, or wherever you might go. All of this. Because that faith, that trust in who Jesus is knowledge. Without it, the world can't exist. Without it, the world wallows in the mire of decay. All that we see of corruption now is the first fruits of that, really, right? The wars, the rumors of wars, the rising and fall of nations, the rust and the moths and the thieves that break in and steal, and all of this, as Jesus says. All of this is just a foretaste of hell and a demonstration of our sickness. But the fear of the Lord, wisdom, that's life. That's resurrection from the dead. Faith is the first resurrection, is the resurrection of your soul out of the grave of your selfishness. So when wisdom says, by me, your days will be multiplied, she's not lying. By Jesus, you may not be able to live your best life now, into late retirement and golfing every day. Maybe you can. That's sort of a up in the air, a little bit of the chaos of the world. God might grant it, pray for it, fine. But, you know, don't expect it. But no matter if you're put into the grave at age 22 or age 7, wisdom, faith in Jesus will multiply your days, because on the day of resurrection, there's no end of days. There is an eternal week after week after week in a planet restored, renewed, with years and years added to your life, and all those years won't have any of this corruption, this folly that we have brought on ourselves and therefore must endure now. So if you are wise, if you hear these words, right, let the hearer open his ears to what the Spirit says to the churches. If you are wise, this wisdom is great salve, it's great hope. But if you scoff, well, that's on you.